we've known Brother Ennis, like you said, I believe we met maybe possibly about 1969, somewhere in there, which God's put Brother Ennis here, and he's just stayed here, and God has blessed his work and blessed you and blessed this community by him being here. My ministry kind of went other ways, and God allowed me to pioneer 6 independent fundamental Baptist churches, and I pastored only 2 of them. I pastored the first one, which was up near Graham, North Carolina, and came out of the Andrews Memorial Baptist Church there and begun Trinity Baptist Church. My wife's aunt had a store building, and she felt like his church needed out there where she is at, so God led us out there, but stayed there and built twice, and God moved us to Henderson. And during our ministry there was little towns around that had no independent Baptist church, no good fundamental preachers. And we went out one day a week and visited, and our church allowed us to do that. And we went out, and our church helped us get the what we needed together. And we pioneered 3 independent churches while we were there. And then when I went to up in Murrayville, Tennessee, and pastored a few years, and we were able to pioneer a church there over near where Crown College is at today. It was not there then. Brother Sexton, at that time I was there, he was still up in, I believe, Maryland. I met Brother Sexton, and I was in a funeral with him not too awful long ago. A preacher's wife there I knew passed away. And but anyway, I was able to pioneer another one. Then where I'm at now, we had a son that was still living there, and he developed MS. And I told my wife, I thought we need to get our priorities right. And so we went back, and I was planning to go into evangelism, but God had other plans. It was 6 people there, and with me and my wife, it was 8, trying to start a work. And they convinced me to come with them, and they kept saying, "Preacher, we want you to organize, want you to organize." After about 2 months, I finally told them, I kind of wanted to get them off, you know, leave me alone. And they wouldn't do it. And so I finally told them, I said, "I'll give you 30 days, get 50 people to sign a charter." Lo and behold, in 30 days, they had 51 people sign a charter. So that was the beginning of Eastside Baptist Church. And we've enjoyed, I mean, I've really enjoyed pastoring there at Eastside Baptist Church. I believe it's better than anywhere I've ever been, because I feel like I'm right in the center of God's will. Brother Ennis knows what I'm talking about. When you feel like you're where God wants you, then it's good. And it's just wonderful to have that. Tonight, I won't keep you long, but I do have something on my heart. Seemed like the Lord laid this on my heart a couple of weeks ago. And out of the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, just verse 4 and chapter 3 and verse number 9. 2 verses I want to read tonight, and then to get my message thought here. But first, let's bow our heads again in a word of prayer. Father, I'm thankful tonight again for the privilege that we have to come to thee in prayer. And I'm so thankful that we can come and be privileged to come boldly to the throne of grace and just say thank you for your blessings of this day. Thank you for the opportunity to stand here behind this pulpit. And our Father, where Brother Ennis has stood all these years. And Father, we just pray that you'll bless tonight. I know we'll not be able to say anything that he's not already said or preached. But our Father, help us to be able to confirm some things that he has preached. And Father, we'll thank you for that's done. If there happens to be someone here tonight that's never been saved, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would move upon their heart. And Lord, that they'd realize their need of a Savior tonight and turn to thee before it's everlasting too late. We'll thank you for that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4, the Bible says, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then turn the page over. And here in chapter 3 and verse number 9, the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want you to notice where he says here, he's talking about precious promises. Precious promises. I guess all of us tonight that are here, from the youngest to the oldest, knows what a promise is. A promise is something that whenever you tell somebody you're going to do something, and you say, I make a promise, then that other person's expecting you to do what you say you're going to do. And the Word of God speaks of precious and sure promises of God. God promises are to be depended upon, for he's not slack concerning his promises. That's what we just read. And he's not slack concerning them. Whatsoever God promises, he will bring to pass. I want you to understand that tonight. I imagine you already understand that. But all that God has promised, somebody has said, I've never counted them, but somebody said there's over 30,000 promises in the Bible. And, of course, they're not all to the believer. There's promises to the unbeliever. Because God says if you ask, if you come with a repentant heart and ask him, he'll save you. And that's a promise. We might deal a little more with that in a moment, but we can see that here he is talking about sure and precious promises that we have. Now, we all can understand that tonight, what he's talking about. He's talking about there's some things that we can be sure of because he has promised them to us tonight, and we can be sure of those things. I want you to first consider the promise of salvation tonight. That's something that every individual needs is to know that they have a need of salvation tonight. And God has promised salvation to everyone. Although everyone won't receive salvation because they won't receive what the Word of God has to say. But the Bible teaches us that all men are sinners. All men, women, boys, and girls are sinners. The Bible says there's none good, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. And David in Psalms chapter 51, verse number 5, David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and even in my mother's womb did sin conceive me. So we can see that even from birth, I believe that children has to come to the age of accountability before they are responsible for their sins. But anyway, whenever they become to that age of accountability, then of course to know right from wrong, then they become accountable for their own sins. And the Bible says that we're sinners, and we need to realize that tonight. And whenever we realize that, God's made a promise that if you'll come, I mean just come by faith. It's not something that is, it takes a very intelligent person to do. The Bible says even a wayfaring fool can be saved tonight. And so it don't have to be somebody that's very intelligent to come to the knowledge of the fact that they need salvation. It's just whosoever will. And I'm glad God made it that way, that whosoever will can be saved tonight. And of course, we cannot save ourselves. The Bible says that we cannot. It says it's not by works, but it's by grace tonight. I'm thankful that it's that way. And I remember years ago, as I'd go out visiting, a lot of times people say, well, preacher, I've done this, I've done that, and I still hear that. And but it's not what we do. It's what Christ has already done for us tonight. It's not in what I do, but it's what he's done and how I have accepted what he has done. But my friend, tonight we can see that there are those that think well through their goodness. I had a man one time, he was a multimillionaire, and he happened to be a member of my church, and he made the statement to me one time. He said, preacher, I have never committed to sin. I said, well, I looked at him, and I kind of, you know, it kind of tickled me, because he had been sitting listening to me preach for a good while. And when he made that statement, I said, but, and I called his name, and I said, well, you may think you've not, but the Bible says all have sinned. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. And the Bible says that our goodness are filthy rags. It's talking about those rags that came from the leper's sore that was wrapped around those sores full of corruption. And I remember as a boy, whenever I'd get cut or something, my mama would wrap some gauze or something around that, and it would, the corruption would be in that gauze. And that's how Isaiah said that our goodness is as filthy rags. And so there's none good tonight. And we cannot save ourselves. It's not by our works. It's not by our goodness. It's not by baptism. It's not by our good conduct. But it's what Jesus has done tonight. And so he's promised, whenever we come to him, he's made a promise that, well, in Acts chapter 10 in verse number 43, it says, whosoever believeth. Whosoever believeth. I know it's more than believing. I'm not trying to preach easy believism, because even in the book of Genesis, the Bible says, except the Spirit of God draw man, he'll not come. And so I believe that under good, sound, hard preaching, amen, I know your preacher does that, and the Holy Spirit begins to work on your heart and in your life and brings that conviction to your heart, then that's when, that's a great time to come to Christ, whenever he's dealing with your heart. I was raised in a family. I was the baby of 9 children. There's 8 of us boys and 1 girl. Never went to church. My dad never carried us to church. So I'm not a preacher because my daddy was a preacher or because my granddaddy or someone was a preacher. As far as I know, they never went to church. And at the age of 19, my wife, through the influence of my wife, I went to church with her. She was raised in a good fundamental Baptist church, and where the preacher, and back then, those folks shouted a little bit. I mean, I'd go down there with her, and boy, they'd shout, and it scared daylights out of me. Amen. I mean, some of you look at me like, well, what's wrong, preacher? Well, I mean, if you've never been around that, boy, it scares you. But anyway, through the influence of my wife, I heard the gospel preached, and I seen my family saved. I seen my dad, my mom saved. I seen my brother saved. I seen God call two others, my brothers, to preach the gospel, and 3 of us boys ended up preaching the gospel. That's what God can do. He can change not only a life, not only a person, but he can change a family if God just moves in that family. And so we can see that it's whosoever will can come. Bible says, you know, some people, they try to make it different ways that you can be saved. The Bible says there's no other way. You say, preacher, are you that narrow-minded? Well, the Bible says there's none other name given under heaven whereby people can be saved. And the Bible says if you try to climb up any other way, you're the same as a thief and a robber. So there's you must come to the realization that Jesus is the way. And then let's move on to a second promise here. The promise of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm glad the Holy Spirit, whenever you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in and he takes up his abode within your heart, and he's there for the purpose to lead you, guide you, direct you, and to teach you into all truths. And I'm thankful for that, that the Holy Spirit will do that in our lives. And if we just bring ourselves to the place of being obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Then let me go to a third thought, and that is, you know, eternal life. You know, the Bible promises us eternal life, and eternal, that means never ending. Eternal life will never end. I like that song they sung there a while ago, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. You know, Jesus is that rock. He's that solid rock that we build upon, and we know and we understand that. But we can see that, consider the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes I turn to 1 John, and I believe that the book of 1 John was written to the believer. I believe this entire book is written to the believer. And so many times he says, I write these things that you may know. I believe he wants us to know some things. I'm sure your pastor has preached that year after year that you can know that you're saved. And that's a great promise, ain't it? I mean, some people say, well, I've heard people say over the years, well, whenever I get there, I'll know. Boy, I wouldn't give you much for that. Amen? I mean, you know, I believe you ought to know now. I believe for the since I was 19 years of age, I didn't know right then. Whenever the man that came down during that revival and he knelt in the altar on the this side of the pulpit in the church I was in, and he took the Bible and he stayed there with me, and he had asked me, say, young man, are you saved? I said, well, I sure hope I am. That didn't go over too good with him. Go right back through Romans again, read books of Ephesians, verses out of that, and he'd say, let's pray. And we'd pray. And so you say, finally it dawned on me that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, not that they might be saved, or later on they might be saved, but right then, present tense, right at that time, I'm saved. Not something going to take place next week. Some says, well, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to. No, you just got to realize you're an old sinner. I'm glad God loves sinners. I'm glad God loves old sinners tonight. Amen? And they're the ones he saves, those old sinners. I don't mean old in age. I just mean he just loves sinners. Because I saved as a young man, 19 years of age. But we can see here, and I want to read a few verses here out of 1 John chapter 5, begin at verse number 9. The Bible says, if we receive the witness of the of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God has a witness in himself. That's the Holy Spirit that has taken up his abode within our heart. We have that witness. I preached one time on we have an inside information. Amen. But here the Holy Spirit, he says, has witness in himself. He that believeth not the not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. Does that mean 30 days, or if I hold on or hold out? Amen. I believe that means that he's given us eternal life. And he says there that I give to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Not in the church. I thank God for the church. I give my entire life for the church. And brother, but that eternal life is in Jesus Christ and in him alone. He died for you. He became that supreme sacrifice. He was that lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And he became that sacrifice for you personally this afternoon. We can see here, he goes on in verse number 12. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. I love verse number 13. These things have I written unto you. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the believer. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may what? Somebody? May know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the Son of God. That you may know, that you may know. Now that's a promise, isn't it? I mean, God's word is a promise to us. And he's given us a promise here, amen, that we got eternal life. Death is a bad thing. We've lost two sons. Terrible, terrible to lose children. I don't believe that's in God's plan for us to lose children. But we've lost two. Our oldest son and our youngest son. Our oldest son was murdered. He was out on the job working. Man never knew him, never seen him. Put a gun in his back and murdered him. Of course, they put that man in prison, but that didn't help us any. That didn't comfort our heart. The only thing comforted our heart was that we knew he was saved by God's grace, and one day we'd see him again. Amen. And our youngest son was real sick when he was about 7 or 8 years old, and he had a liver that was deteriorated on him. And I called every preacher I knew one Sunday morning. They're sending him down to Chapel Hill and asked him to pray. And when we got to Chapel Hill, the doctors, they looked at him. They checked him over. They done everything they could. And finally, they came out and said, "We don't know, something's happened." Says, "We can tell that boy's been real sick, but we don't know what happened." God touched that boy. He lived to be 43 years old before it came back on him. We got to enjoy all those years with him. Amen. We got to spend that time with him. And God extended that for us. And you say, "Preacher, you don't sound too sad about it." I'm sad. But I'm glad that I know he's got eternal life. I can look beyond every moment, every heartbreak that I've had. I can go into the hospital and I can look at people laying there and I can say, "Thank God we can look beyond this that there's a better day coming." Amen. And I'm glad that this is not all we have down here. I'm glad that we have eternal life. There's several other scriptures that I could look at here, but I'm not going to keep you all night. I want to get to this fourth thought, promise. You know, whenever Jesus was ascending back to heaven, there in the book of Acts in chapter number 1, verse 10 and 11, it says that there was two men. I don't know, you can speculate who they are. I believe it was old Moses and Elijah we find in Revelation chapter 11. I don't know for sure that's it, but just let me believe that, because I believe that's those two men that was there. And I believe they'll be the two men that'll come back and preach during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. I hope I'm not saying something wrong there, Brother Ennis, but I mean, I just believe that. And I believe they're going to come back. They're going to be the ones who are going to preach. Amen. Preaching. And people's going to. When I first got saved and went to Piedmont Bible College a little while, and I wondered how that everybody was going to see them. You know, we're talking about 50 some years ago. We didn't even have a television. I mean, 50 years ago, my wife and I, if you had a telephone, there was about 50 on the line, and you couldn't get nobody on a telephone. Everybody in the neighborhood was on the same line, and people's listening to everything you had to say. Well, I'm old as dirt, just about, ain't I? I'm about like some of you fellas. But anyway, you know. But I wondered how that was going to be. But I have no problem with that today. Something can happen in the Middle East and with satellite television the way it is. It can be in your living room within the seconds after it happens. So I don't have no problem with see how that the world's going to see them. But anyway, they're in the book of Acts, these two men in white apparel said to that congregation of people that was there gathered, said, "Why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, not another, not a representative, but this same Jesus that you see going up shall so come again in like manner as you see him going into heaven, losing all gravity, just going on up. Amen. Paul preached a little while. Come there to the book of Thessalonians, 4th chapter. People, I'm sure the Bible doesn't say that, but it had to be something that stirred Paul's mind and his thoughts to say this. I'm sure that there was people came and saying, now, Paul, we have to take our loved ones and put them out here in the sod, and you saying Jesus is coming back again. You're preaching that Jesus is coming. And he started out in verse number 13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For the Lord himself, that same one there in the book of Acts, Luke told us that was ascending up, that same one that Luke told you about, he's going to come back again. I would not have to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep, and those that you've laid out there in the sod, and for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ. I often say that's us Baptist folks. We about the deadest folks I know, you know. Amen. Dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, you and I, which are here tonight, whenever we shall be caught up together. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 51 says, we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I asked the eye doctor one time, I said, how long is a twinkling of an eye? He said, if I understand it correctly, preacher, it's about 1/20th of a second. Boy, that's going to be a transformation like none other. Amen. But he said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be called up together to meet the Lord in the air. I believe Jesus is coming back. I believe that's the next event that's going to take place in the Scripture. I believe everything that I read about and I see on the news and read in the newspaper, I believe it's pointing to the coming of Christ. I heard a preacher say this past week, he called me and he was talking to me, and he said, you know, I don't believe we'll see another Christmas. I said, well, whether we do or whether we don't, it'll be all right. Amen. I said, if God spares us to stay here and we see another Christmas, I'll say praise his name. If he takes me home, I'll just say glory to his name. Because he's promised he's coming back. He said, if I go away, I will come again. There in John chapter number 14, begin at verse number 1. We know that he's letting us know that he's going away. It won't come to my mind just how it starts, but I'll get it. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Now, of course, he had just been talking to his disciples, and Jesus had foretold of the denial of Peter, and how that he was going to be crucified. And he looked at his disciples. I'm sure they were sad. I believe I'd have been if I'd have been there. I believe I'd have been real sad. And he says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now notice, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I might. Amen. He didn't say I might. He said, I will come again and receive you. Amen. Thomas said, Lord, I don't know how. I don't know the way. How can I know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl comes to Christ but by me. Have you come to Christ tonight? Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know you're saved? Do you know that you have that eternal life? Or are you looking for the second coming of the Lord? Has the Holy Spirit took up his abode within your heart? You know, if there's anything that you have any doubts about, look at these promises tonight. They'll take the doubts away if you look at these promises and realize what God promises God to do. God's going to do exactly what He promised tonight to do. Do you believe that He'll do that? If you do and you are here tonight, I don't know any of you tonight. I just know Brother Ennis and his wife. I know nobody. I don't know your standing with God. But I'll say one thing. If you have anything, if God spoke to your heart, I've just tried to deliver message that I felt God laid on my heart. And if God spoke to your heart, then what you need to do is just mind God. This altar is open around here, and I'm sure Brother Ennis has got men and women that will come and deal with you and pray with you and take the Word of God and show you the things that you need to be shown. How is it tonight? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and they're coming to the instruments. Our Father, as we come to the conclusion of this service tonight, we are thankful for the Word of God. We are thankful for men like Brother Ennis that stands for the Word of God, preaches it. Church like this that believes the Word of God. And Father, I pray tonight there may be those that have needs in their heart. I don't know their needs. God, I know You do, and I know the Holy Spirit can move upon hearts tonight. And Lord, that You can deal with hearts in the way that they need to be dealt with. And Father, if there are those that need to slip around these altars, I pray that they would. And God, do that within the hearts of the individuals that is needful tonight. We'll trust You to do that, and thank You in advance for that You're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.